Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to yet another Mission Accepted podcast. You are absolutely on a mission. I love our audience, and we know that you love us too, so we so appreciate that. We continue to bring the most incredible people that are making you feel different things. I mean, that's it, right? You take the mission, and then you're on the road, and you're on the journey, and sometimes there's no looking back, but sometimes it's great to hear other people on how they started, what they did, and how they're experiencing their mission. So today, my friends, you are going to be, as you leave our show today, feeling so much more creative. The world is going to sparkle a little different for you after you leave this show and you look forward. So thank you, listeners, and thank you, viewers. We so appreciate you. I am excited today to meet somebody that I actually met on another show. You've heard us talk about Brian Sebastian here. Now you're going to hear us talk about Howard Wiggins because I met him. He was co-hosting this incredible show with Brian, and it was a plethora of us just getting down and getting creative and talking about life. And so I was like, I want that man on this show. And so fortunately for us, he has an abundant schedule of the most incredible things that he gets to do in his life. And we're going to find out how that all started. So Howard, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, look at, so this is quite an accolade. So you're talking to a man who has been listed as in the top, like the world's leading top 35. Is it top 35 of the most? World's leading interior designs by Andrew Martin, volume 3. And he has written a number of books about creativity, design, and we're going to get into that a little bit today. But Howard, why don't you tell us, what was it about interior design or being creative that pulled at you? How did this all start?
Actually, it started off, I went to college to become a veterinarian. And I called home and I told my parents, I said, I don't want to be a veterinarian. I don't know why I thought it was just little small animals. I wasn't counting the barnyard animals. And they said, well, there's a design school opening up down the street called O'More. And do you want to go to that? I said, sure, because I've always been interested in interior design. So I did that, and that was my love. But the interesting story of that, how it started, was my father was famous. He played steel guitar with Eddie Arnold on the Grand Ole Opry, actually helped create the Grand Ole Opry. And my mother in my childhood decorated the house 4 times. The last time she hired an interior designer. And as a child, I could tell the difference between my mother's no taste and his great taste. And even today, the colors that he did my room, they've been my colors all my life. I haven't ever changed them. They're my colors. And the interesting story of how it kind of got creative. My mother had, like, when she had decorated the house for the 4th time, my dad came in from off the road and he walks into the house and I'm talking everything is new. The TV, the recliner, the artwork, the upholstery, the tables, the lamps, everything. He goes and turns on a brand new TV set and goes sits in a chair. And mother said, don't you notice anything? He said, did you get your hair done today? And I'm like, okay.
So, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So interesting. Yeah. From veterinary, from wanting to be a vet to, hey, there's a design school. Hey, let's go there. And for you to even observe the difference between your mom's design and, you know, this professional's design, and that somehow impacted you.
It did. It really did. Wow. And it's been my love all my life. I mean, I do the same thing at work as I do on my day off of work. I like to go shopping. And I want to shop all the time.
Okay, so do you ever feel like you have no more availability for the things that you see? Sometimes I'm a big art person, and I'm like, I mean, I got to the point where I was putting art under the bed and then putting out art for a while. And does that ever happen to you?
Well, I'm in my home that I've had. This is the second home I've ever had in my whole life, and I've had it for over 40 years. And I still find places to put art. I did put one on my ceiling going down the steps the other day. I've got it, and that also created my look of stacked and layered, because I have things on the floor leading your eye up all the way up to the ceiling. So yeah, when you run out of room, you create room, because I've got to have that fix, that adrenaline. Mm-hmm. I think too many people go with trends, and they'll get rid of something just because it's 10 years old. And I think, well, that's not the way they do it in Europe. I mean, in Europe, if you live in an Irish cottage, you keep that Irish cottage look. You don't create it with a new trend. And trends are called trend because they come and they go. And I tell people all the time, the most beautiful homes look like they're created over time, not done at one time. So if you think about it like a wardrobe, if you like what's in and it looks good with what you've got, add it. If it doesn't, don't, you know, and don't go all in on the trend. Just do a little bit of it, because the way design pendulum goes is just like fashion. What's in goes with what's before and will go with what's coming. So long as you're just doing a little update every now and then, you're staying on track.
Oh, well mm-hmm. said. Well said. Okay. I'm sure I can find a few more spots for a few more pieces of art. It doesn't help that my son's an artist. Okay. It's like, that doesn't help whatsoever. But look, you just said two words that you said stack and layered. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you have a new book. Is that not what your book is called?
No, that's the new look I've got called Stacked and Layered. That's just a business that I made up. I have an old book that's out of press called Recognizing Mistakes That Everybody Makes and Everybody Does. And it's one that took me a lifetime to get the idea for and took 2 years to write. But I really want to republish it, because at the time I did it, I didn't have great pictures, and I really rather have great pictures than do it again. But basically, I'll give you one little scenario. The difference between a professional and a non-professional is, I ask people, if you had to put something in a corner of a room, what would you put in a corner of a room? 99% of the people will say a plant. So they'll go and look for a plant. There are hundreds of things that go in a room. You can put a table, a chair, a floor lamp, a grandfather clock, a fountain, a statue, a pedestal, and it just goes on and on and on. But you don't think of all the possibilities. So as a designer, I'm thinking, out of all the possibilities, what's the best choice? Not the first thing I think of.
Oh, well said. That's true, right? You're like, oh, we need to fill that room, so let's go get and it's typically the thing that you see all the time, and you just assume, right, if you're not a designer, you assume that's the best thing for that. I have to tell you, I have this thing for architecture. And when I flew a lot for work, that was the one time that I loved buying magazines, was from the airport. And I would always buy Architectural Digest and just look at the pictures and love the paper and look and see how it feels and what's possible. So you write this book about things. So what's a couple of other things that we automatically, you know, if we don't have that natural aptitude for creativity and interior design, what are some of the things that people, or other things that they do that's fantastic? Or,
well, one of the things that gets on my nerves is everybody nowadays goes to Pinterest and all these to get ideas. And I tell them, that's like, if you look at something on Pinterest, that's like you looking at a fashion magazine and you want that dress on that model. that dress won't look the same on you as it does on her. It's two different scenarios. And even if you copy an idea, let's say they're doing an all white room and has a wood floor and wood beams and maybe a another type of wood in the product. If you're copying it, you're not copying it exact. You're doing a recipe without the ingredient in it. So there's a reason for everything in that room. So if you just do part of it, you've got it unfinished. You didn't create it the right look. The other thing is, like, I'll tell women, they'll get an idea from Pinterest and they try to copy it. If you go to the store, that's like you saying, I want a red dress to wear to a ball. So when you go out there shopping, you're looking at only the red dresses and you're looking for the one that may or may not exist. So if you go with an open mind to what's my possibilities for my room, and out of these possibilities, what's my best choice? You'll come out with a better room. And one that doesn't look like everybody else.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been in this world of creativity? So if you changed careers when you were younger, and I dare not ask how many years you've been on the planet, but how long have you been in the world of design?
It's basically, I did it as a child. I mean,
yeah.
I had an expensive bedroom even as a child, because my mother got a new bed and I got their bed. And through life, I traded bedroom suits up like four times to get the one I've got now. And I've always had an interest in it. It's just in my heart, just from very day one. So, but what I've done is I've gotten better and better, just like you do at anything else. So that's what keeps me going.
Well, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit, because I know a little bit about you, and you talked about your father being a part of the build of the Grand Ole Opry, which I've been so, that was one of the highlights. I mean, I was raised on Glen Campbell. He used to have a show that he did, I think it was after, for us, Hockey Night in Canada. Mm-hmm. And you would watch that sitting around. And so I love country music, and I was able to be at an event once where we had dinner right on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, of an awards event. And it was a really beautiful experience for myself. But you have a Dolly Parton story.
Boy, do I ever. I met Dolly Parton before she was, or right as she was becoming famous. My dad had a company called Rammer Guitar, and Dolly and Porter were playing the guitar, and Dad took me to Dolly and Porter TV taping. And I met Dolly right after the pictures, and I just fell in love with her. And I saw her every Saturday night, because they would both do the Opry together. And we talked behind stage several times, many, many times. And I remember things that she taught me. It's like, she told me one conversation, she said, Howard, when my career is over, I'm going to write children's books. And I remember that. And of course, she did the Imagination Library. Later on in life, I had a car accident and I broke my neck and I cut my ear. And I was in the hospital for, I think, about 3 months. Dolly came to see me with a girlfriend and her sister, Stella. And this is the best story of my life. And there, so I was in traction. So my head was in a brace and I was looking straight up. And my parents were sitting at the foot of the bed, and there was two chairs on the side of the bed. And Dolly was standing up, and my father asked Dolly, would you like to sit at the foot of the bed? And I said, yeah, Dolly, sit at the foot of the bed, so I can tell everybody had Dolly Parton in my bed. <You know? laughs> So, but because I couldn't turn my head, she stood in the chair over my head. So I get to see a view many men don't get to see. I just loved it. And then my dad told me that as he walked them to the elevator, there was this young couple about to get in the elevator, and this guy was going to get in, and his girlfriend or wife pulls him back and said, you're not getting in that elevator, you know, with all of them. And then I had a male nurse that came and gave me my vital signs, and he took them, and then he started to walk away, and then he forgot what they were. He got him all frustrated. So, but anyway, and I remember one time, Dolly's always been friendly. I mean, I had dinner with her once, when she was starting out, she had a concert that she did at her hometown to raise scholarships for people to go to college. And she took her bus with her crew in it. And then there was another bus that was just friends of hers. And it was like RCA secretaries and myself and just personal friends. And then we all went out to eat at a little restaurant before she went. And she sat at my table with me, with all the other, instead of all the other friends. And I'm like, I was so honored to do that with her. But I've run into her many, many, many different times. So we go way back. So.
Oh my goodness. It's so nice to hear a human story about someone that, you know, the world, you know, adores and sees in a different light, right? And just that really beautiful humanness. So lucky you and lucky her, you know, I think that's, that sounds exactly how it is. Going back to your world of design, do you have any stories of something that you've designed that was, close to your heart or you couldn't quite figure out? And when you did, like, what was some of the things that you designed or got to work on that are memorable for you?
I did a 26,000 square foot home here in Nashville, and I did it in 3 months. And the reason I can do it so quickly is I have rules that I follow. And if you follow my rules, you don't make any mistakes whatsoever. And my rules are very simple to follow. You basically work from the floor up. So I always, if you'll go on my Facebook, I just reposted it. First thing you need is a floor plan. Before you do anything, you need to know, what are you looking for? Do you need two sofas, one sofa? How many chairs? How many tables? And if you work from the floor up, let's say you have a rug, and the rug could be solid or a pattern, then that sets your color tones. That tells you what to do. That kind of maps it out. If you start with that first, and then your upholstery second, you buy that. If you get your upholstery second, then the third thing is your case goods. Well, if I've got my arm height, I know what size end table to do, or I know what size sofa table to do. After that, I know what size lamp to do. And then after that, I know what accessories to do. So if you just make a decision and keep going with it, it's always going to turn out right, because you're making all your decisions on your previous decisions. And I tell people, what happens is a lot of times you'll either start off with the art, and the art starting off should come at toward the end, and never, ever do a paint color first. Because if you do a paint color first, you're only buying something because of that color. That color, like, for instance, I happen to know there's over 300 different shades of white. So why are you choosing one that you have to match up to? You've got to get the color that you need, not the color to match up to. So if you follow that rule, there's no mistake. And my wife has another thing. She says people that are wishy-washy and they want to see another choice and they want another avenue to go, you're just making a different meatloaf. I like to use the cooking analogy. If you've got this one already made, now you want to choose another one. It didn't make it a better meatloaf. It's just another choice. You didn't do better. And then once you do that, then you get confused. I like this and this one. I like this and that one. You try to merge them together and it didn't work. So just stay with what your heart tells you and buy things that you love and make it look better. And don't think about what's in and what's out. And another thing I like to say is that people say, well, I'll do black and white because it's timeless. It's not timeless. What's timeless is creating something that's totally original that I do not see everywhere I go. When I see it everywhere I go, I'm going to get tired of it, and it's becoming a trend. But if your house is unique and different and reflects your personality and not a time period, it's never going to go out of style.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because I took, as I'm listening to you, I'm like, ooh, that was a bleep. I took the advice of my realtor friend around a place that I was going to sell, and yes, right? Roll your eyes. You're exactly right. And I took a color off the wall, and then ended up not selling it. And now I have it. And every time I walk by, every time I walk into my studio, I'm like, this is not the color that I would ever, you know, it was like plain white because someone's going to buy it. They're going to change it. And I was like, oh, like I had about four different colors on there. And so, you know, I'm like, man, I would have to like get it painted again and blah, 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 blah. And it would be this big expense in time. So I'm sucking it up for now, but I know it will change because I took somebody else's decision too. And you're right. It really, I mean, I'm a environmental person. Like, you know, I am a creative as well. And it does so affect, you know, how you feel. It does so affect how you feel.
Well, I'll probably make a lot of people mad on this, but so what? Realtors are really the ones who have hurt the interior design market because they're trying to make everything look the same. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell everybody, if everything looks the same, which one will I buy? I will buy the cheapest one in the area I want because mm-hmm. they all look the same. I've been on both sides of the fence. Let's say when granite became popular and all the realtors were saying, well, you got to change that granite count. I mean, you got to change their granite countertop or your house won't sell. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're doing it to sell, you're going to get the cheapest one because you're leaving it behind. As a designer, I was helping people and they come in, I don't want that cheap granite, I don't want the better one. And they'll take it out and rip it. I am fine with a house looking like it does and you create it to what you want to be. Because the first thing I'm going to do anyway is going to paint. I don't care if it's white, I'm not going to leave it white. I'm going to make it my colors. And right. Why does everything have to be contemporary? Not everybody's contemporary. I don't mind. I don't care what it is. I can see beyond that. That's the way we used to buy houses. Now, mm-hmm. That does bring me up to a really good story. I want to talk about white trim and white ceilings. I've never done either one of those in all my life except one time. And the only time I did it was a high rise because the view was black and white at night. The reason I don't do it is because let's say you've got a beautiful piece of property. And if you think of it like I have a landscape picture. Would you put a white frame around a landscape? No, you would look at that frame. You want the molding to complement the room, not to overshadow the room.
Wow.
And an example I give on that is back in the 60s when the girls wore the blue eyeshadow and all you saw was blue eyeshadow.
Yeah.
When I walk in a room and all I see is white ceiling and there's no white in the room, and white molding, that catches my eye. That's the absence of color. So I don't want to see that first. I want to see your art. I want to see your furniture. I want to see the room. I don't want to, first thing I look at that molding. But the reason people do it, and I'm going to explain the reason. If you look through history in the 1700s, when we became more civilized, you were either rich or you're poor. So if you were rich, you made your trim look like marble or malachite or some expensive material because you lived in a big, big, big castle or whatever. And then in the 1800s, America started becoming rich on farming. If you look at historical homes, all your trims and your rooms are different color because they didn't have stores. So, and you didn't have, you couldn't go out and just buy a sofa or buy a chair when you wanted to. You had to have it made and stuff. So somebody like myself would come around and say, all right, you've got a red sofa and a blue chair. Let's do this wallpaper and pull these colors together. And it changed from room to room. Then the 1900s came and we had American Craftsmen. And then we started doing real wood molding and it was cherry and walnut and all this beautiful details. Then the wars broke out. When the wars broke out, the soldiers came back and they started families and they started doing trim. They did white trim because it was cheap. They could pop them up fast. White goes with any color. They could paint their house anything they wanted. It continued on because America got richer and the houses started getting bigger. Well, we didn't show them stage. So as a builder, and it's an empty house, they started putting in dinner work and egg and dart and all this beautiful molding and raising the ceiling. So when you walked into an empty house, that trim caught your eye and you say, look at the detail this builder put in this house. He must be a really good builder. And you kept it. I don't want to walk into anybody's house and see the trim over the artwork and the furniture. It should complement it, not take your eye away from it. So that's why. And I don't know why people don't even question it anymore. They just, because everybody's got it, everybody does it. We're such followers instead of being leaders.
That, you know what? And it's true. And I think it's one of those things that people don't note because they don't have your eye. Mm-hmm. Because it's become right. So standard, the standard policy, right? It's almost been like, it just seems like it's part of where you build from, that it doesn't seem changeable. I think that even when you're talking, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Like everywhere you go, that's just what it is. As we start to wrap up here, I have a fun question for you, but is there anything that you would like to share with us about what you're doing, what you've done, what's going on for you right now before I ask you a completely different question?
It's a low battery. I don't know why I got low battery. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Okay. All right. It's a low battery on my end. I'm 72. My life is taking a different direction with Brian on movies, reviewing more. I'm doing acting. I'm doing modeling. I'm going to make a big move and move to Chattanooga within the next year. I may open up another shop at that time. I just want to enjoy life. I'm not going to sit at home and retire and watch The Price is Right to the day I die.
That's so inspiring. Yeah. I love that we can hear you and see you. I love that you are still living your life and doing your passion, right? Oh, there he goes. Well, what we'll do is we'll wrap up a little bit. Howard's battery seemed to have gone, but it was just, now he's coming back. We were talking about how he was living life and continuing to live life as a creative. What a really interesting story about that young pivot and writing books and being recognized for his work and now acting. And are you back with us, Howard? There you go. We can see you.
I can hear you. I can't see you.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can see you.
Yes, I'm back.
We can see you. So,
okay.
So in wrapping up the show, it was lovely to hear. So yeah, you're like last time we chatted, you were getting into acting and your world was expanding. And like you said, you shared that you're in your 70s now and your world is still continuing to blossom.
Yeah. And I dance a lot too. So if you go to my Facebook, Brian has me doing a James Brown dance. It's got over 200 and something thousand views on it already. So it kills me. Actually, I like being with younger people than older people. When I'm with people my age, they feel like they're my father. I feel younger than they do.
Absolutely. Well, look, and I'm going to ask you one question because I know that you're we're coming to the end here and you're hanging on with a little bit of juice on your iPad. So my question is completely different. It's not about, it's not about design. It's not about taking the mission in life. It's about one thing. If you were on your way to a desert island and you were going by vacation and you had room in your suitcase for one album, one vinyl, and you couldn't imagine not listening to that vinyl, what album, song, or singer would that be?
Probably be Susan Bowles.
Oh, Susan Bowles. She's amazing. Oh my goodness. You have to look her up. She's got quite the voice. So I think, there you go. Howard, you just keep popping back into my life. Okay. So I don't know if you can hear Howard and it looks like he's popped.
Okay, I can hear.
You can hear. Okay. Well, we're going to wrap up. I was saying that Susan Bowles has such an incredible voice.
Correct. I love it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It evokes feelings and emotions for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wrap up. We're going to thank our audience for hanging out with us today. Howard, it was incredible. And you do have a very active Facebook. We're going to put all of that information in the show. Also, you co-host, you know, with Brian Sebastian on Hollywoods and More. We've shared some time together. I look forward to sharing even more time with you. Thank you for sharing your insight on design. I think we're all going to take a look at it just a little differently. I might go change some things and stop looking at Pinterest.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. And if you ever redesign that and book, you want to read it. Sorry?
Okay. And it's moving. And it's movies, reviews, and more, not Hollywood. Movies, reviews, and more.
Yeah, with movies, reviews, and more. Yes, thank you. Thank you for correcting me that. Movies, review, and more with Brian. So, audience, thank you so much. If you want to be sitting here sharing your story the way that...